This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The explosive growth in South Texas is credited to the Eagle Ford Shale play. It's providing jobs and energy to the economy, and it wasn't that long ago that these towns like Carrizo Springs, Cotulla, and Gonzales were suffering from depopulation. Now they're overpopulated and dealing with problems of too much growth too fast. If you've seen these issues firsthand, we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about the growth of the Eagle Ford Shale area? Is it being handled correctly? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And you can also comment directly on our website on our show page at tpr.org. We're joined by Jennifer Hiller. She's a reporter for the San Antonio Express News, and she's been covering the Eagle Ford Shale region. And Tom Tunstall, he is the director of the Institute for Economic Development at UTSA. And also we're joined by County Judge Daryl Fowler. He's the county judge for DeWitt County, and he's seen this stuff firsthand. He's having to deal with that. Welcome to The Source, all y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, Judge Fowler, let me ask you, over in DeWitt County, what sort of issues are you having to deal with?
Well, the first indication that we were on to something big was the increase in the traffic count over the last 4 years. TxDOT records indicate on the roads that they had studied that our traffic counts were increasing fourfold and fivefold with truck traffic and other incidental vehicles coming through.
So is it just a traffic count, that the heavy traffic, or are you seeing higher numbers of traffic fatalities?
Well, we've been fortunate, Dave, that DeWitt County is not at the high end of the fatality scale. Carnes County seems to be ground zero in that they've really had some horrific accidents over there. Some of that is based upon they have a major U.S. highway that goes through that creates some of that, and bad state highways like 72 that is rippled so bad that the trucks can't stay in their own lanes. But thank the Lord, we haven't seen that many. We have a few inexperienced truck drivers that have rolled their trucks over and been consumed by the accident. But other than that, we're very fortunate.
And how are your roads dealing with all that traffic? Are they getting torn up?
Our roads, our particular county road system that we are maintaining and have been historically through our own property taxes, have literally been consumed. Half of our county is in daily production activity, and out of 680 miles of total county maintained roads, I have 342 miles that are seeing rig traffic and tonnage up to 150,000, 60,000 pounds per truck moving rigs in and out.
That'll beat up a road pretty good.
Yes, sir, it does. Our road maintenance budget, just as proof of causation, and to tie this together, has increased in one decade from $1.4 million countywide to $16 million budgeted this year just to maintain.
And where's that extra $15 million coming from?
We have taken a stance locally that our budget and tax policy would raise revenue back from the beneficiaries of this newfound wealth, and the state of Texas allows us to tax an oil and gas well as other property, and so we, by holding our tax rates and not decreasing them, we've been able to benefit from that larger pie and assess more to meet the demands. And so actually the wealth is being created by the industry that's also destroying the roads. So it's a vicious circle, so to speak.
But you are able to tax the wells, ad valorem tax them, and be able to get the revenue to take up that slack.
Yes.
That's pretty good. It's not falling on the backs of your residents. Let's bring in our other guest in this conversation, Jennifer Hiller with Express News, Tom Tunstall with the UTSA Director of Institute for Economic Development. Tom, you've been studying the growth of the Eagle Ford Shale. Here we are hearing from Judge Fowler in DeWitt County. His story, is that pretty familiar?
Yeah, the Judge Fowler raises some really good points. There's a real disconnect in the Texas political economy with regard to tax revenues. It's true that county tax revenues are on the increase, whether it's sales taxes or in the case of some of these ad valorem taxes on the wells. But the bulk of the revenue associated with oil and gas comes in the form of severance taxes, and it goes right back to Austin. And there's no formal mechanism to make sure that that money gets back to cover the costs of the roads in the counties being affected.
Jennifer, in your reporting, and you're looking across the region, not just to DeWitt County, what are you seeing as far as like these problems that are popping up?
I think that what Judge Fowler is seeing in DeWitt County is pretty representative of what other counties are experiencing. He is kind of right there in the thick of it, in the heart of the field, in some of the areas that have the heaviest drilling. So he may be seeing it. He may be getting a little bit more hard hit than other areas, but the roads problem is universal, I would say, across South Texas. And it's one of the issues that is probably the most upsetting to residents. It's sort of created a nuisance that they have to deal with on a daily basis in terms of just the roads being kind of cracked and torn apart and crumbling on the edges. And it just creates a safety hazard.
But Judge Fowler, what about the people issue? I mean, you're seeing a lot of growth, people going to your county for jobs, not a lot of housing, not a lot of recreational activities. Is there a people problem?
Well, it's in a sense, it's a good people problem because, Dave, this is the first time in two generations, actually perhaps since World War II, that we've been able to offer our youth opportunities for jobs and income after they go off and get their four-year degrees in higher education. They can now come back to jobs that will start them at $60,000 and $80,000, where before you either had to have family connections and industry here, or you went to work for the highway department or the school district or the hospital, and there were very few other choices.
So that sounds like a positive benefit, but I mean, I understand there are people coming in from around the country to roughneck on and be a rustabout on these wells, and they don't always get along with the local population.
Well, that may be anecdotal in places. We haven't seen it. I don't see them in my courtroom. I think for the most part, we have a roughneck certainly is a term indicative of a lot of historic connotations, but the guys that are coming here to work, I think, are pretty much professionals. They know that their companies won't tolerate too much foolishness, or they'll be packing their bags and looking for something else.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the transformation of South Texas due to the Eagle Ford Shale. People are concerned about too much growth too fast and not enough money being put aside for infrastructure and long-term issues. If you got a question or a comment, we want to hear from you. Call in 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Eagle Ford Shale, its impact on the communities in South Texas. A lot of good things, a lot of growth, a lot of jobs, a lot of money, wealth being created, but also some concerns about too much growth too fast and whether or not the local governments are able to deal with that. Talking about that this afternoon, I'm joined by Jennifer Hiller. She's a San Antonio Express News reporter covering the Eagle Ford region. And Tom Tunstall, he is the director of the Institute for Economic Development at UTSA. We're also joined by County Judge Darrell Fowler. He's the county judge for DeWitt County. He's on the front line. He's seen exactly what's going on in the Eagle Ford Shale region. And we're joined by you. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you're seeing firsthand what the Eagle Ford Shale is doing to South Texas, give us a call. We want to hear from you. Let's get some of our callers on the air. Shamir has called in. Shamir, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead.
I have my comment is basically studying the boom and bust of other areas in the past in history, west, up north. Outside of any environmental reason concerns, are we worried at all to see what happens in the future as far as once these companies pull out, if the gas wells dry up, or any of this infrastructure that they have to expand. They expand it, spend all the money, and then basically there's no one else to use it once they're gone. What happens? And are there any concerns of our backyard just south of San Antonio becoming a ghost town type of area after this is all said and done with?
All right.
And I don't know if, you know, if I haven't read anything about that type of long-term concern regarding that.
All right, Shamir, thank you for that great question. I think that's what's on back of everyone's mind. Judge Fowler.
Well, for us, we are monitoring things locally that we have statutory authority to do, and that is we have a groundwater district here that has monitoring wells, and certainly TCEQ has a footprint here with air monitoring and so forth. And we've had less than a handful that I can recall of spills or incidents that would require hazmat attention. And we're fortunate, at least on this end of the play, on the east side, to have major multinational oil companies working here, and they are very well aware of what happened after BP had the rig event in the Gulf Coast, and they're very safety conscious. I have a lot of confidence in the way they're tackling this.
Yeah, but I think the question that Shamir raises is about building up this infrastructure, getting ready to handle all these extra needs for the county, and then suddenly there's no longer an Eagle Ford Shale play. It's been played out, and now what happens to the local governments like you? I mean, you got to maintain that or walk away from it?
Well, locally, what we're doing with our budget is controlling everything else in our budget through our general fund and maintaining as minimal increase in appropriation as we can. We've added, I know since I came into office, we've added almost 20 new employees, half of those working in the road and bridge department, but some of those here in the courthouse. And we're, you know, our long-term view of this is to reach a soft landing, whenever that might be. I don't know when it will be, Dave, but just from the areas that are leased here and the Railroad Commission permits and the drilling units that they're proposing, I bet there is a potential, at least right now, for another 6,000 wells to be drilled in our county. So they're not going away anytime soon.
All right, Tom, you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, the boom bust cycle is actually an area of active research for us because we are concerned about that. A lot of people don't know, but Texas has at least 200 ghost towns, some accounts 1,000 or more, and a lot of them are the result of boom towns gone bust. And so one of the things we're urging the communities to look at to potentially assuage a slowdown or a bust is to be thinking about how to diversify their economies. And we're looking at options for South Texas that include things like olives and olive oil processing, hunting, tourism, recreation, other types of activities, even water desalination, given some of the water issues we have. So because we don't know when things will slow down, and Judge Fowler's right, there are a lot more wells left to be drilled in the Eagle Ford Shale, assuming that the price of oil and gas stays above certain points.
So, Jennifer, in the course of your reporting, talking to people, I'm sure that's something that they raise. They're concerned about. Everything's great now, but who knows about a year from now, right?
Definitely. I think that's something that you hear across the region. It's never been there's never been a boom quite like this one in South Texas, but people have seen oil and gas activity come and go over the generations, and so they know that eventually it will slow down a little bit. Every time that I speak with a Wall Street analyst that covers Eagle Ford companies and is paying attention to the region, I ask them, you know, what is the price that we need to be worried about for oil? You know, if it drops below 80, does drilling stop, and so on? And they have all told me the same thing, which is that the Eagle Ford is more profitable for drilling than anywhere else in the U.S. onshore, and that drilling will stop everywhere else before it stops here.
So, Tom, I mean, there's one thing to punch holes in the ground creating jobs, and after the holes have been dug and they've drilled, and then there's the maintenance, but that doesn't require as much of human capital, right?
Right. The workforce to maintain wells that are producing is much smaller than the number of folks required to complete wells. But that's the interesting thing about shale oil and gas development is you have a much longer drilling cycle, because again, we're talking about our estimates are that at least 25,000 wells throughout Eagle Ford are going to be drilled, and indications are it could be 30,000, 40,000. So that's going to maintain that drilling activity for over a decade.
All right, let's get another caller on the air. Tom has called in. Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I was wondering if y'all could talk about potential lake sites. There's a lot of sites that are being filled up with oil wells right now, or, the basins. I was wondering who would be in charge of influencing, locations of wells, to avoid these basins where we may need to have some lakes built real soon.
You mean disposal wells?
Any kind of wells, even just like oil wells, say around Gillette, there's proposed lake over there, or Wilson County, or a lot of areas where they're putting these lakes right there in the basin, where the lake basin would be. And I was just wondering who would be in charge of thinking ahead of, influence where the location of these oil wells would be.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate that call. So, Judge Fowler, any idea what how we can address that?
Well, over here, we have the Guadalupe River that runs through the county and pretty much divides the county in half. And there is really not much drilling in the basin. The horizontal drilling allows a pad site to be drilled or drilled from up to a mile away from the target. And so we don't really have that fear. But even with that, there are two blueprinted surface water lakes that were drafted back in the 1950s that have not set well with the folks that in the northern part of the county where these projects would be. So I think from that standpoint, the locals that live up there on that land up there would probably ask for more drilling to keep surface water lakes that would feed other places not to come.
All right, we're talking about the Eagle Ford shale boom and its impact on the communities in South Texas. Jennifer Hiller at Express News, I've seen some reporting about health care, about impacts, about hospital, the need. There's need for more first responder health care out there, right?
Definitely. I think you just have a lot more people in the region, more than 100,000 new jobs, according to the UTSA study. And you're going to have more things like car crashes. You may have, it sounds like there are more things, slip and fall injuries and things like that, that may send somebody to the ER.
And working on a drill, that's a dangerous work.
It is. It's dangerous work, and there are accidents sometimes, unfortunately.
And so also, Judge Fowler, we've heard about this, all these people coming to the area and the need for housing. People were living in trailers. Are they still in trailers, or have they found permanent housing?
Well, permanent housing is still in short supply, but the city of Cuero proper allowed a subdivision within the city limits here within the last 2 years that will provide up to 180 new mid-sized priced homes, middle-class family-type homes. But on the housing side, where we see the huge displacement are the people that have traditionally been on the lower end of the economic scale, had $350 rent for a two-bedroom house for decades, and now they're being displaced in favor of temporary workers that don't want to live in a 30-foot RV trailer and have per diems that allow them to pay $1,200 or more for the same place.
Let's get another caller on the air. Alice has called in. Alice, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I've got another post-boom pre-bust idea. I want to see who's thinking about the drill sites. How are they convertible to geothermal energy supply? And what other green tech visions are being thought of and planned for at this point? Because even if this boom lasts possibly 10 years, I doubt that, there needs to be economies in place to keep things going.
All right, Alice, thanks for that great question. Appreciate it. Talking about diversifying the economy after this bust, when it finally comes.
Yeah, the and one of the areas that we've encouraged the folks in South Texas to be thinking about is geothermal, because there are some sites conducive to geothermal energy in Southeast Texas. In West Texas, where they also have some shale, they're going after their alternative energy option or opportunity for other diversification is really more wind energy. But there are some prospects for that in the Eagle Ford. Unfortunately, one concern I have is that if energy prices drop overall, then that would affect the viability. That's we've seen what it's done to the viability of solar, and so that's something to. I have a feeling that the types of energy across the board sort of move in sync with each other in terms of, you know, when they're up, they're all up, and when they're down, they all go down.
Right. Judge Fowler, so what message do you want Austin to hear from you about what you need done in regards to preparing, taking care of the problems you have today?
Well, I circle back to something that Dr. Tunstall said, and that was the production tax that is being collected out of our counties. Not from the county treasury itself, but from the royalty checks of our local people who are the beneficiaries, and also from the operating companies with the working interest. DeWitt County production last year yielded $244 million for the state of Texas, and none of that, not a single dime of that, was repatriated back here to us, and so we have been left with using our local ad valorem tax to repair the damages that benefit the state, so to speak, through the production tax. And that's where, going forward, I have a mission that still continues from the last legislative session to address that, so that we have a funding source that's more permanent and more correlated to the drilling, and that would come from the production tax.
All right, Judge Fowler from DeWitt County, appreciate your coming on air with us. Tom Tunstall from UTSA and Jennifer Hiller, San Antonio Express News. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the NPR News.